Hello, and welcome to Holding the Quill, your mercurial podcasting duo, Giddy Grodes, and I, Delusional Drinks, are here, poised and ready to unveil the final episode of Season 2 of Holding the Quill. The big one, the big Season 2 finale, Quill Britannia. And so, without further ado, on with the show.
Holding the Quill.
Right then, G to the roads, Giddy Grodes. How you doing, my boy?
Delusional Drinks, Happy New Year. How are you?
Very, very well. So, Grodes, right.
Yes.
As you know, I am slightly delusional at times, but
Most of the time?
Anyway, who's timing us? One of the key things that I like to do is sit around.
Okay.
On my ass, staring out into the thin air, into space, and just think about anything and nothing. So lately, I have been thinking about identity and nationalism, and I wondered what you thought it means to be British.
Oof, wow, well, what's happened to this podcast? We've gone super deep. Deep.
That's it. Every podcast sometimes takes a little surprising turn, and here we go. We're no longer the podcast for crazy, random absurdity. It's just we're the hard hitting, deep thinkers, the deep talkers.
Soon to be top 100 in the culture charts,
in the culture and philosophical charts.
Right, back to your question. What does it mean to be British? Well, immediately I'm thinking sport. You know, our dear love of football. I'm thinking British music.
We fantastic do have music. Yes,
we do indeed. We have sound coming from radios and TVs, and I'm thinking about British food, good old fish and chips when you're by the beach. But I probably would say British mannerisms. So things like the stiff British upper lip.
Yes, I mean that. I'm glad you've gone there, because that's one of the first things that pops into my mind when I start thinking about Britishness, if that's a word, or being British. Our ingrained politeness and sort of almost crippling mannerisms and behavior that sort of, I don't know, seem to block us from being the sort of too bold and arrogant. I'm not comparing us to any other nation, but I'm just saying, for me, I feel like being British, there's a slight, I don't know, like I feel pulled in two different directions, like I'm
tug
conflicted
of war.
I'm fighting this little tug of war between being slightly embarrassed and ashamed of being British, but then also I'm so pleased and proud.
I've got a little, for our international listeners. I don't know if people are aware of what the stiff British upper lip is, and I've got a little analogy that I would kindly share if you're keen to hear it.
Let's hit it. Go on.
Well, our obviously dear Prince William, Prince Wills,
Willie P, the fresh Prince of Cambridge,
the fresh Duke. The long term. Fresh. he's the long-term face of the monarchy, and he's
the poster boy.
He's a yeah, Certainly, you know, the face of our future royal family, and sadly,
what's wrong with the rest of his body?
Well, you know, headshots are very common for stamps and things, but sadly, he.
Are you whoa? Are you suggesting that they're going to change some? What do you know something that we don't? Are they going to change the face of the stamp from the Queen to old Willy P?
Well, I mean, in the future, I mean, if we're it might be Charles next, but in the future, at some point, Willy P, Prince Wales, he will what? Be on our
what,
on
what,
our
what is the what is the
first
is
and second class stamps? Windsor.
So it's. Willie W. I'm saying Willie P. I'm saying Willie P. Like Prince William, but then Prince inverted into the end. But yeah, continue. I'm interrupting you.
Where were we? Prince W. His
Cambridge.
His version of the stiff British upper lip is that, you know, we're in 2021. If you want to go and change your look and aesthetics, then go to Boots, get some lip fillers. You know, if you're
Sorry, what?
Well, that's 2021 for you, mate. Got to catch up with the times. But you know, you can go and change your look and appearance. And I'm sure if he had the opportunity and he could, then he would maybe have a little hair transplant potentially to give him a, you know, a full head of hair, but he's showing in adversity that he doesn't need it, and actually he's going to be a bold king of Britain,
a bold king
of Britain in the future, and that is my analogy for the stiff British upper lip.
I think what all I heard was that you go to Boots and get your lips filled.
Well,
I didn't even realise you could get Botox at Boots.
Followers on
are you barging elderly people out the way when they're queuing up for their COVID vaccine and saying, get out of my way, I need my Botox.
It's been at least a week.
Look at my lips, they're withering away to nothing.
They're flopping down my neck.
I mean, Prince William wouldn't put up with this.
Exactly.
Our listeners have learnt a lot about you there, Grades.
Well, if people follow at Holding the Quill podcast, maybe I'll update you on my trout lips soon.
Right. I mean, I asked you a question of what do you think it means to be British, and you just started telling everyone about how you love your new big fat lips.
Well, I didn't want to. I mean, you've unfortunately, you know, told my secret to the masses, but.
You just any given chance, you just thought, oh, I'll tell everyone about my new lips.
They are great though, aren't they? Come on.
Oh, have you seen my lips?
Oh.
So look, right. That's, okay, that certainly went in a different direction to what I expected. But I mean, the reason I asked you that was just
yes. Yeah. Why did you ask me that?
Essentially, last night I sat down and watched a couple of episodes of. Mr. Bean. I was watching back some old episodes of the sublime, beautiful, fantastic comedy perfection that is Mr. Bean, which, you know, you and I obviously grew up on, and it was probably one of the most successful comedies internationally, worldwide. Like Mr. Bean.
Exported by Britain. It's massive, absolutely huge.
Like anywhere that Rowan Atkinson goes, he will be recognized as Mr. Bean.
Ta-da!
Exactly. Like so it's an institution. It just Mr. Bean, for me, it kind of epitomizes what it is to be British. I'm not saying we're all like Mr. Bean. Or wait, no, maybe I am. Maybe I'm saying Mr. Bean in some ways, in small snippets and some forms, is within all of us. Within all of us Brits. You know, that kind of just rooting for the underdog, kind of a bit all over the place, but still desperate to sort of follow the sort of behavioral mold of politeness and being smart and being presentable, but he gets it completely wrong every time. Okay, and maybe that's not a good summary, but essentially, I watched those episodes of Mr. Bean, and then I remembered about the little appearance that he gave during the London 2012 Olympics, and then I spent the last couple of hours watching on YouTube the London 2012 opening ceremony.
That's why you were late today to recording.
Look, there's always valid excuses. There's always very good reasons, and there you go. That's my reason. Okay. Guilty, but just brilliant, just brilliant, brilliant. Show created by, do you remember,
our dear friend Danny Boyle?
That's it, exactly, Danny Boyle, DB, and yeah, I just think Danny Boyle absolutely nailed it, like with the sort of right level of showing respect and homage to the sort of industrial and colonial past, and then sort of winding forwards into the modern era and popular culture, and you know, the fact that then Mr. Bean just suddenly pops up with the London Symphony Orchestra, just, I don't know, just that feels to me like it sums up this weird, odd, strange dichotomy that it is to be British, of sort of being proud in one sense, but not too proud. You know, you don't want to be coming across as arrogant by sort of just blurting out to everyone, "Hello, I am from Great Britain," and sort of, you know, looking down upon people, because we're almost in some ways shy about some of that past. But then I don't think we should be. I think it's as long as you're delivering that line to people in the right way, and not shouting at people and saying, I am so proud to be British, and you know, I don't think many people are. I think it's this almost fear of appearing arrogant and overly confident that then turns us the other way into the likes of bumbling Bojo, Boris Johnson, his style of just appearing like he doesn't have a clue of what's going on.
Absolutely. I think there's a spectrum of the British public, and certainly we can be somewhere between Mr. Bean, the sort of shy Brit that's, you know, typically embarrassed by quite a lot of his own actions, and the sort of the other end of the scale, which probably shouldn't talk about, but certainly there's a middle ground of being modest and actually being proud of being British that I'm sure we can all get behind, and there's lots of reasons to be proud of. And certainly, like I said, Prince William, you know, standing up for his hairline is certainly one that I can get behind.
There we go. So we've got a couple of new patrons of the podcast. We'll be sending a quill in the post to our friend, dear friend Prince William, as our new poster boy of holding the quill. And who knows, maybe next we'll get Rowan Atkinson on board. He can come on down and right, okay, so that was probably our longest intro. We need to get moving, don't we, Grode?
We really do.
Shall we crack on with the show? Final episode of season 2, episode 6, Quill Britannia.
Yes, indeed. Right, quick social rundown. So if you want to get in touch with us, it is holdingthequill@gmail.com. Our Twitter is @holdingthequill. Our Instagram page is @holdingthequillpodcast. And you know the drill by now, but if you want to get in touch with us, we are, of course, recording the show live. So please give us a call. Let us know what you've been doing during lockdown 3.0. The number you need to call is 077-323-79037.
Fantastic.
Last little bit of admin. At the end of the show, it is our final Quill Legacy of the series. I am up against a very special guest to try and make it 3-all to tie the series. So we've got it all, you know, lined up for you, listeners.
We've got it all lined up, and all you have to do now is sit back or stand up, lean to one side, and enjoy the show.
Hello, holding the quill.
Oh, hello. It's Maureen. I called in a little while ago. How are you doing?
Ah, Maureen, great to hear from you. Yeah, good, very good, thank you. How are you?
Oh, well, I've had all sorts going on lately. I've literally just got home from the hospital. I was in the hospital for the past 10 days.
Oh, no, what's happened?
Well, I fell over. I fell over at home. And well, thankfully, it was nothing too serious. I mean, I just lost my balance, you know. I didn't know what was going on, and I fell over. And they took me to the hospital in Croydon. And they were worried about me falling again. So they kept me in there for 10 days. And, I didn't like the hospital food. Oh, it was horrible. It tasted like old boot laces cooked in vinegar every single time. And anyway, my feet, my poor feet, they became very swollen. And after a few days, my feet, they looked like a couple of blown up Cornish pasties. I couldn't get my favourite Clark shoes on. I was so upset. It was really getting me down, you know. And for some reason, I couldn't go to the toilet. I tried all the time, you know, pushing and pushing, but I couldn't do a number two. I couldn't poo, you know. But when I finally managed to do my toilet yesterday, oh, it felt wonderful. It was delightful. I've felt as light as a feather since. It was like I'd been deflated, you know. And do you know what? My feet, they went back to normal straight after having me, you know, me, what's his name, having me poo. And oh, it was a lovely feeling. The doctors and nurses, they were over the moon. And when I told them I'd been to the toilet, and when they said I could go home, oh, I was so happy. I said to my nurse, Jenny, I said, Jenny, you have no clue how special you are. You've looked after me like an angel, and you know, the fact that you helped me poo like a puppy and get me home just before my birthday, it's like a dream come true.
Wow, I mean, yeah, I can imagine. It must have felt absolutely amazing.
Oh, it was a lovely feeling. I mean, I called up my daughter, and she came to pick me up, and I walked out of the hospital over to my daughter's car, and I got in the car. She drove me home earlier today, and do you know which shoes I was wearing?
No, go on.
Well, I was wearing my favourite club shoes, you know, my favourite ones.
Yeah.
Yes, I was so pleased. And after all, it is my birthday tomorrow.
No way. How old are you?
Well, I'm 82 years young tomorrow.
Hmm.
And you know what, Groves?
No, go on. You tell me.
Well, thankfully, my daughter, she showed me how to use my smartphone, and I was able to listen to the Archers on Radio 4, and what I also did, I also listened back to all the previous episodes of Holding the Quill. I really enjoy your show.
Fantastic. It's good to hear.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed listening back to the episodes, and it got me through those 10 difficult days in the hospital. But, God, blimey, that Philip Forthringham, or Flashy, as he likes to be called, he's a complete twit of a man and a complete arse, isn't he?
Yes, I would very much agree with that. You're spot on with your analysis of him.
Oh, yes. What a foolish man. He doesn't have any idea what's going on in the world. I think people like him, they should just shut up and leave their stupid opinions to themselves.
Hear, hear, definitely. 100%. Well, Maureen, thank you so much for calling. It's been lovely to hear your voice. I'm so glad you've been able to be discharged from hospital safely.
Well, I'm so pleased, and my daughter, she's gonna get me a cake for tomorrow, and hopefully we'll have a nice day.
Absolutely. Well, we everyone at Holding the Quill, myself and Delusional Drinks, wish you a very happy birthday. Have a fantastic day, and hopefully we'll hear from you again soon.
Oh yes, indeed. Thanks very much.
You take care of yourself.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye now. Quill fail.
Okay, Drinky. Quill fail. I've been saving this one for the series finale. It's a personal quill fail.
This time it's personal.
This time, quill fail too. So this quill fail happened to me about 3-ish years ago. Now, as you know, I am a frequent guest at weddings, and obviously over the years, you'll know that there's been plenty of drunken wedding drama involving both me and you. But I've chosen a different story.
As our listeners don't know, you know, Groves is very popular and has got loads of friends, gets invited to loads of weddings. I, on the other hand, get invited to the occasional wedding, embarrass myself, and then don't get invited to any more. But carry on.
Fights on the dance floor. Anyway,
murder on the dance floor.
So there was one particular wedding about 3 years ago, back down in Kent, where my other half's from, and it was for a couple of her school friends, and basically the biggest thing was that I was strictly told to behave myself for once in my life at a wedding, because basically in the evening her parents were also going to be attending as guests, and they were very kindly also giving people, we're going to be giving us lift and some of Claire's friends a lift. So basically they weren't going to be drinking, so they would see me maybe at my worst. And, you know, for most of the day, I was fairly sensible, but as we all do, got obviously a little bit excitable, you know, Zambuca shots, tequila shots, a few Jaeger bombs, and clearly I was pretty, pretty wasted by the end of the evening. Now, end of the evening comes, and Claire's dad is giving myself and Claire a lift home, and then the drive home
I remember the story now.
So the lift home is going to be about 25 minutes. I get in the car and immediately pass out. Now, the key thing for this story is that Claire's dad got a new company car the day before. It's 1 day old. It's got about 68 miles on the clock. So 20 minutes through the journey, completely passed out, and we pull up abruptly at a set of crossroads, and I immediately wake up with a great deal of panic. I have the biggest overwhelming sense of nausea that's come across me, and I know where we are. We're about 5 minutes away from home, and in my head, the best thing to do right now is to get out of the car and be sick. Because the risk of being sick for the rest of the journey, albeit 5 minutes, is pretty high. However, I maybe underestimated the situation, and pretty much immediately started chundering everywhere. So before I could adequately open the car door, I was sick in the footwell, down the doorwell, down my suit. Horrendous, absolutely horrendous. Get back to the house. It's an awkward 5-minute drive back to the house. I'm disappointingly told to, you know, just go to bed. I pass out immediately, pretty much on the bed, and wake up 6-7 in the morning with the biggest fear I've ever had, and shake Claire awake next to me, desperately hoping that she'd say that it's all a dream. But sadly,
no, it was not. It was,
it
not
was all true. And that lovely new car smell had gone in an instant, sadly.
To be replaced by the dirty, dirty, disgusting memory of you and your foul, foul behaviour.
Yeah, absolute Quill fail, sadly. But I've come through.
Thankfully, at the time, you were thinking this will work so well as a Quill fail in roughly 2 or 3 years' time.
Exactly, and it's perfect content for our pod.
There you go. So the lesson we've all learnt is if you're gonna be a complete tool and an idiot at a public event like a wedding in the future, hopefully they start happening again. Just try not to throw up in your girlfriend's dad's new car. But if you do, start a podcast and then tell everyone else about it, and people might find it funny.
Yeah, exactly. That's the moral of the story. Hello, Holding the Quill.
Hey guys, my name is Trent the Destroyer Douglas, and I'm from Greenville, Alabama. And I'm a wrestler. Well, I ain't a real pro wrestler just yet. I mean, I'm only 16 years old, but I want to be a professional WWE wrestler so bad. I've rewatched every single WWE SmackDown episode on TV from 1999 to 2020. I've seen every single episode over 25 times.
Okay.
I've even turned our living room into a wrestling ring. God dang, it's great, every time I go in or out of the room, I do a different wrestling move, you know? So when COVID's gone and the wrestling gyms, they open back up, I'll be perfecting my moves so much, I'll be ready to lay the SmackDown on everybody. For example, if I go into the room and I want to turn on TV, I bounce off the ropes, simulate a choke slam, and then grab the remote. Or if I want to grab a magazine, you know, to read and that, I climb up to the top rope, jump down, pretending to do an elbow drop, and then pick up the magazine from the comm table. I perfected my move so much, just the other day, I accidentally clotheslined my sister while I was trying to tidy up. Jeez, she was hurt so bad. With her nose all bloody and her eyes all flat and puffy than the normal are. My mom was so darn angry. Shoot.
Well, Trent, as interesting as this is, like, what's your reason for calling?
I'm sorry, guys. Sometimes I just go off on one, you know? But look, Groats, Drinks, Holding the Quill, I just want to say I'm such a big fan of y'all. You guys, you cheer me up so much. All I've been doing lately is listening to your podcast and do my wrestling moves, and also send my love letters to my number one love, Fiona Bruce Cooley. He's so damn fine. That voice of hers, oh, god damn, it makes me go weak at the knees every time.
Well, look, Trent, thank you so much for calling. We really appreciate your support. We're glad you're a big fan of the show. And hopefully Fiona gets back to you with a letter of her own some point.
Oh, I hope she does. That woman, old man, she's the number one. She is the goddess. English goddess, I call her. Fiona, my love. Ooh-wee.
Lovely. Well, you take care of yourself. Hopefully those gyms will be open soon, and you'll be back wrestling in no time.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully once my sister's eyes just healed up, maybe she'll be able to actually practice some moves with me. And then when I'm 18, I'm going to be a pro wrestler. Just you watch.
Absolutely. We've got faith in you. You take care of yourself, and hopefully speak to you soon.
Oh, don't you worry. I'll be tuning in every single time, guys. Make sure you keep on making these episodes. I'm listening in. Oh, from over here. I'm over here in USA, in Alabama. I want to be listening to y'all guys all the time.
Fantastic, we will do. Right, you take care of yourself, and speak soon.
See y'all later.
Bye.
Right, see y'all, bye. Bye now.
Bye.
queer literature.
I've just had a I've just eaten a date, and it's a, I don't know if you eat dry medjool dates, but they can really get stuck in your teeth.
Not regularly.
You're not a regular medjool dater. Well,
I'm
just sorting a bit of date from between my teeth, and then once that's done, I'm ready for queer literature. Okay, so listeners, for the final queer literature of season 2, episode 6, the title for this short story is called A Brave New World. The year is 2062, and the world has just battled through another global pandemic, COVID-35. The lockdown imposed on Britain by the Prime Minister, Brooklyn Beckham, has finally been lifted. The public are instructed to go back to work, the pubs reopen, and social integration is once again allowed, but strictly only if wearing a mandatory infection prevention force field, either the Apple iBubble X or the Samsung Sterile Suit 7. Jerry is lounging back in his hover hammock in his tiny studio flat in North London, watching the news as it's announced. An enormous sense of relief is felt initially at the prospect of being able to get outside and see his friends and family again. But the relief is short-lived, as his mind quickly flicks to the idea that maybe it's all just one big lie, a cover-up. Maybe COVID-35 wasn't eliminated. Maybe the Samsung Sterile Suit 7 is not strong enough. Maybe Bexy and his government cronies were having us all on, playing us all like puppets on strings, or like virtual reality puppets with no strings. Bzz, 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 bzz. Jerry leaps out of his hammock like a frightened frog, and his heart is racing. He then realizes it's just his phone ringing in his pocket, and it's his best friend, Rob. Jerry swipes the screen and takes the call.
What great news, eh, Jez?
Rob shouts down the phone.
Yeah, of course, Jerry replies.
Oh man, it feels like a lifetime, this lockdown, but finally we can get down the pub and have a pint.
Rob's joy and excitement beaming out from each and every word leaving his lips. This, for some reason, only adds to Jerry's nervousness.
Right, Lady Mildmay, me and you, couple of pints and a catch-up, what do you think?
Asks Rob.
The pub? What, like, now?
Jerry frantically looks around him for inspiration for a fictional excuse to explain why he won't be able to make it to the pub just 5 minutes' walk away from them both.
Rob, I'd love to, but, I've just defrosted a gammon steak, and if I don't cook it tonight, it won't be any good tomorrow,
Jerry explains rather pathetically.
Oh, come on, Jerry. It'll be good for us both to you know, get out and, look, I'll get us both gammon and chips down the pub,
Rob insists.
But I don't know, I mean...
Look, I'll even cut some fresh slices of pineapple and bring it in a container, in case they don't have any. Come on, Jerry, it'll be good for us to get out.
Well, I do love fresh pineapple on gammon.
Yeah, there he is, Rob exclaims. Good lad, Jerry. You know it makes sense. Right, I'll see you there in 10 minutes.
They both end the call, and Rob skips away to get ready, while Jerry sheepishly peers through his living room window to see the streets slowly filling with people and the polluted, dark grey-brown air of London turn seemingly a shade darker. Jerry scoops up the half-defrosted gammon steak and slots it into the fridge. In one swift motion, Jerry pivots round to face the doorway, out of the flat, and pushes the fridge door closed behind him. Without even checking to see if the fridge door was closed properly behind him, Jerry begins purposely striding towards the front door. He slides his feet into his Chelsea boots, slips on his Lecoq Sportif jacket, hits activate on his Samsung Sterile Suit 7, and walks through the front door. There we go. What do you think?
There's a few things I'd like to talk about, if that's all right from there. COVID-35. Does that mean there's another... quick maths, 16 COVIDs that's happened in the next 30 years,
40 years. 40 years, yeah. So it's a pretty bleak outlook, isn't it? So I tried to sort of encapsulate a little bit of World War Z with Brad Pitt. You know, do you think it was it a bit World War Z-esque?
Yes, absolutely. Or Minority Report-esque.
Haven't seen it, so there you go. Maybe I needed to watch it, or maybe I should have copyrighted this before.
Yeah.
if I'd have written this before Minority Report, oh boy, I could be in for some money. But yeah, it's just a, you know, a light-hearted look at what is a little bit dark, and maybe I need to start brightening up my thoughts for the future.
I always thought that Romeo Beckham would be a better prime minister than Brooklyn, but you know, maybe he's, you know, in line in succession.
You'll be voting for Romeo. You've already decided
that little scamp. Yeah, exactly.
Maybe a bit more sort of Shaun of the Dead meets Coronation Street. That was the thing.
That's what you've been watching on TV recently.
It's exactly. It's it describes perfectly what a day in the life of delusional drinks is like.
Just as a final note as well, I mean, Jerry with his pineapple on the gammon. I mean, has he overlooked a nice fried egg there? What's he thinking?
Some very, very key discussion points. I'm glad you picked that up. And well, there you go. What about yourself then, Groves? These are those deep, very important questions that we all have to ask ourselves. What does it mean to be British? Are you a nationalist? Where do you sit on the political spectrum? And would you prefer egg or pineapple on gammon?
I'm definitely an egg man on gammon, but probably against the grain, I don't mind a bit of pineapple on my pizza. So there you go.
Oof. There you go. Answering even a question that I didn't ask.
What does that tell you about me?
And then that just answers that whole question of what does it mean to be British? We don't have a clue what's going on. we are all just like Boris Johnson. We are just complete and utter fools.
Oh, hey, darlings, Charles Dames here. Do you want to look gorgeous with perfect makeup in seconds? Running late to meet a friend? Or suddenly got to be ready to look your best for an important video call meeting? Or maybe you're just hungover and look like hot shit, but want to look red hot in moments? Well, darlings, the answer to all your problems is right here, with Bold as the Mold. Simply work that makeup magic of yours to make yourself look irresistible, and then simply dunk that beautiful face of yours in the mold. The all-new, unique, advanced, revolutionary, state-of-the-art, technologically developed material will stay set to the shape of your face for up to 6 weeks. And then, you can use the same makeup within the mold again and again. And again. And again and again and again. Okay, you get the idea. So, what are you waiting for? Hop on over to my Instagram page at Damn Right It's Charles Dames and order yourself a Bold as the Mold now. Looking great has never been so easy.
Quill Legacy.
It is a great pleasure to introduce our special guest challenging us in this episode's Quill Legacy. He is a multi-award-winning comedian and writer, and having written and starred in numerous TV shows, but perhaps best known for his critically acclaimed comedy, Trigger Happy TV, and after my low-level social media stalking, which also informs me he has a new travel book, which is due to be released on Audible very, very soon, it is my great pleasure to introduce none other than Mr. Dom Jolly.
Hooray!
And the crowd goes wild.
Oh no, you're going to quiz me on Britain because that's what my new travel book's about and I don't know anything about it.
Well, we're hoping you've done some form of travel in Britain.
I have.
You've lived here. Have you lived here all your life? I don't know.
Yeah, no, not really. But the whole point of it is I hate Britain. That's the book, but that's fine. Let's crack on.
So yeah, I mean, look, it's a love-hate relationship, as we all have with Britain.
Yeah.
And so...
No, it's just that I've travelled to over 100 countries, and I thought I've ignored where I live. And then I drove around, and I realised why. It's called Such Miserable Weather, if I'm going to plug.
Yes. Well, we do endure some pretty nasty, disgusting, rubbish weather. But there's got to be some positives you must have drawn from your travels?
I think pretty much the only positive thing I got was that I made the right choice to be a travel writer and go abroad. And that actually, of all the places I went, because I drove in a sort of weird, like a spider on acid around England, until lockdown stopped me, that actually I had made the choice of probably the best place to live outside London, which is Cheltenham, where I am. So it was a long-winded way of just saying, yeah, okay, I'll stay.
you had a quick look around, you did a bit of window shopping, you thought,
yeah.
I've made the right choice.
I did a bit of grass, is the grass greener? And it wasn't. No, it was sort of shitty and brown and a bit modern.
Oh, but have you been to Walthamstow?
Of course. But before it was Walthamstow, before you were allowed to walk around with a moustache like that.
Okay, so you're predating the Walthamstow village.
Yeah. I've been to Walthamstow when it was just a place you'd get knifed within about 2 minutes.
It's not quite 2 minutes anymore.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a slightly longer time frame now. And the knives are still waved around, but
but they're hipster knives.
Hipster knives, yeah, exactly.
They're avocado knives.
Exactly. You're only going to get mistaken for an avocado if you're going to get an avocado. So we're London. I have very little knowledge of Cheltenham, and thankfully there's no bias in this quiz, because you didn't have any idea of what you were doing before you came on the show, but you've...
I literally have no idea, but I just know what I'm doing now, but that's fine.
Well, the joys of lockdown three, eh? Let's dive into anything.
Have you had... This time it's personal.
have you acquired any new skills or new hobbies over the last 12 months?
Yeah, I make bread now, which everyone does, but I'd never made bread before. I play a lot of chess with my daughter. I took up jogging, but then I got injured, and now I've become a mammal, which is a middle-aged man in lycra, and I cycle.
Oh, so, good, you know, very good. Well,
pretty much ticking every cliche. And I bought some slippers today. So that was a good slip into middle age or old age or whatever age.
Thankfully, we're on Zoom, so we can all share slipper.
But not ironic hipster slippers, like proper fucking smelling of wee, going out to put your bins out slippers. I mean, it was just incredible. I thought I actually bought these. But anyway.
I mean, if you're ever in London, myself and Drinks actually co-own a cycling club that we formed about 3 years ago, called the Turnpike Line Tigers. Right. So we've got numerous tiger designed jerseys. So you're very welcome to come along for
you
a
mean
cycle.
Lycra?
Lycra.
I haven't really found lycra to fit me, to be honest. I don't really do lycra. I've got a sort of really reflective silver thing, and it's a bit like golf. I like playing golf, but I don't like hanging out with golfers. I really hate cyclists.
This is the thing. This is where we differ to every other cycling group, because you
hate them.
Yeah, we actually hate them as well. So we are the anti-cyclist group.
Well, it's weird because having written so many columns, like, you sort of work out who gets the most angry, and the two most angry people you can write about are weirdly Paul McCartney fans and cyclists. It's really odd, but you just say anything about cyclists, And they'll quote it like 10 years later.
I mean, we hate cyclists so much that we literally own a cycling club with two members, just us two. So, yeah.
I hate cyclists so much. I've got a cycling club, which is a car.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Right. So, Dom, essentially this part of the show is where you take on one of us. This episode is going to be you versus Grodes, our very own Giddy Grodes. And yes, the title for the quiz in this episode is called Quill Britannia. And so, yes, it's sort of linking seamlessly between your book, which is coming out, and obviously our knowledge, which is, don't worry, the questions aren't all just based on North London.
That's all right.
There'll be a bit of
North London, it's fine.
Bit of everything. So I guess we just crack on, shall we?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're feeling limbered and ready. You've done your vocal yoga and your mental agility tasks. Yeah.
Totally. I'm zen as fuck.
Right, Dom. Would you like to go first or second?
First.
Here we go. Right, Dom. Question one: as your new book on Audible, coming out soon, is called Such Miserable Weather, This should be a breeze for you. Which Scottish town soaks up the most annual rainfall? Is it A, Stornoway, or B, Fort William?
Okay, well, firstly, can I just say that my new book is only around England, so this is completely out my area straight away. I gave up. I didn't do Scotland. But having said that, I'm thinking Stornoway is actually on the shipping forecast. But Fort William is fucking remote. I've been there, and it's middle of fucking nowhere. But I don't know where Stornoway is. And also, Stornoway sounds like a storm.
I'm going to say
Fort William.
I can tell you, after a nice dramatic pause, you are correct.
Yes, Fort William, in the fucking bag.
Fort William suffers roughly 1,504 millimetres of annual rainfall, which is around 8 times more than the rainfall in the south of England.
If fact. I had to describe it, it's the Barrow in Furness of Scotland. It's not a good thing.
Of Scotland as well, yeah, blimey.
Yeah.
So, okay, 1 point scored. Groves, question one. As we all know, North Yorkshire is the largest county in England, with an area of 8,654 kilometres squared and a population of 1,140,000 people. But which is the second largest county in size? Is it A, Lincolnshire, or B, Norfolk?
Lincolnshire, so north of Nottingham, Yorkshire.
Sounds like he's got no fucking idea.
No.
Nice.
I've got no knowledge of Norfolk at all, a Norfolking clue. So I reckon Norfolk is probably larger, that easterly area of the.
Yep,
English.
That's where it is. Okay, you've told our listeners where Norfolk is. Good.
I'm gonna go for Norfolk. Final answer.
I can tell you the answer is. I can. Well, if you'd have agreed, you're both wrong. It's Lincolnshire. So Lincolnshire has a size of 6,975 kilometers squared in surface area, and therefore the second largest. Third is Cumbria. Fourth is Devon. Norfolk is fifth. So. Question two, Dom, you're in the lead. Many people wrongly assume that the first ever music festival in the UK was Glastonbury in 1970. But which music festival was the very first one in the UK back in 1968? Was it A, the Isle of Wight Festival, or B, Reading Festival?
I think it was the Isle of Wight, because I was there.
Wow, I mean... You can't beat a guy that was there. And so, yes, you're correct. The Isle of Wight Festival was the first festival, 1968.
And I was 1 year old.
Amazing.
No joke.
Bosh, there you go. So
can't remember much, but, you know, Hendrix fucking kicked some ass. Yeah. And I had some bad acid, so...
Well, there you go. So rocketing into the lead with 2-0, not even needing a moment to think about it. Yeah, you're completely right.
Yeah.
Groads, you're on the ropes.
I need this one.
Okay, so, yeah, essentially, if you get this wrong, Groads, it game over.
I like how Groads has not even bothered to get out of bed for this. That's my game.
I've been here all day.
Yeah, I love it.
No slippers required.
Right, Groads, your second question, this is sort of about the strange, unique people that we Brits are. Here in Britain, we love a bit of home improvement and DIY. Whether it's painting a garden or knocking up a wardrobe from IKEA with the help of their confusing and sometimes condescending wordless caricatured instruction manuals. Of course, it can be frustrating when DIY goes wrong, and it could drive you to want to, let's say, chop a roof tile in half with the side of your bare hand. Kent-based power couple Chris and Lisa Pittman officially smashed the world record for two people breaking 1,000 roof tiles in under 1 minute, live on Britain's Got Talent in 2016, as we all know. Lisa Pittman also holds the world record for individually breaking 1,000 roof tiles in the fastest time individually. But how quickly did she complete the challenge? Was it A, 83.98 seconds, or B, 93.98 seconds?
This is such a Kent question, because everyone from Kent is just angry and Brexity.
You should know this. Your girlfriend, your better half, is from Kent. Come on.
How many roof tiles did they smash?
Was it Lisa out. Pittman or your girlfriend?
Yeah,
just going up. So she's the record for two people to break 1,000 was just under a minute.
Right.
So how quickly do you think that she could do it on her own?
What?
83.98 seconds or 93?
With bare hands, nothing, no gloves.
That's a lot of tiles. Oh, but they're probably piled up on top of each other, I'd imagine.
Yeah, stacked very nicely.
She may have been doing five or ten at a time, something like that.
I'd say 10's the max.
Yeah. So, suddenly, Dom's lost all respect for it. Like, oh, guys, that would have been easy. Ten together.
I've never had any respects from Ken.
I reckon let's go for B again. Come on, B can't be wrong twice in a row, surely.
Yes, it can.
So you're going with 93.8... Sorry, 90, I can't even read. 93.98 seconds.
Yes, that one.
Groves, you've just lost the whole game in two questions. It was 83.98 seconds. So congratulations, Dom. You've beaten off the challenge of Groves with your fantastic knowledge of your one-year-old life and of the rain in Scotland.
I thought you were about to tell me I'd beaten off Groves, which would have been just an awkward out of the whole thing.
would we like the bonus tiebreaker question in case it would have gone to a tiebreaker?
Yes.
Yeah, I would have beaten three love.
I'll get that one wrong as well.
Okay then, guys, this is for you both. Born out of London in the southeast of England in the late 17th/early 18th centuries, cricket is our national sport. Hero and legend that is Jimmy Anderson is our leading test match wicket taker. But how many wickets has he taken? The winner will be the nearest answer.
522.
That sounds very specific.
Groves?
He just passed a milestone, which I think was 500. So...
And you look like a lot like Ben Stokes.
I'm going to go for...
Come on, you should know. You play in the same team as him.
As captain of the England cricket team, I'm going to go for 507.
Well, it's 3-0 to Dom Jolly because it's 600.
Yeah.
600 wickets.
Quite a bit to go, yeah. Well, that was good. Enjoyed that.
There you go. So thanks very much, Dom. It's been a real pleasure. It's been an honour to have you come on and embarrass us with your superior knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, there's none of that in my book, I'll tell you that. I am rude about Kent in the book, but apart from that, there's not a lot of that. But yeah, no, that was interesting.
Thank you.
That's good for that. I'm very glad you didn't get out of bed, Grades, for that, because that would have been a waste of time.
I might get out of bed now, to be fair.
Yeah.
You've got some other projects coming up this year as well. You've got a sitcom and TV show.
I've written my first sitcom ever, first scripted thing, so that'll probably be shit, but I've written that. It's called Due Diligence, and I am just about to write my new book, which is called The Conspiracy Tourist, where I'm going to go off and try and make friends of all the people I fucking hate on the internet, and I might be making a TV thing with that. So, yeah, it should be fun.
This is it. I mean, this is the era of, fame through any way possible, and so I think that's good to take on the nutters.
Well, actually, I'm not taking them on because I've been taking them on for 10 years. I fight conspiracy theorists every day and I loathe them. I've written a book about going to JFK's stuff and things, but actually they've become so mainstream now. They're not a joke anymore. They're actually a proper threat because it's not just a weird 5%. So actually I am going in there genuinely with an open mind, with a view of, well, just what if I'm actually wrong? Like, what if the earth is flat? What if, I mean, genuinely, I mean, people, they believe it so utterly. The way someone explained it to me is like, I grew up just thinking we were the goodies and Russia was the baddies. But Russians grew up thinking they were the goodies. And if you grow up like my wife does, who's Canadian, the map of the world, Canada and America is in the center, not Britain. So I'm trying to look at it from a different perspective. And my idea is to find a flat earther and take him or her, it will be a him. If you believe in the flat earth conspiracy, flat earth theory, there are four corners of the flat earth. And one of them is a place called Fogo in Newfoundland. So I'm going to fly this guy. I'm going to pay for him, take him out to Newfoundland, take him to Fogo, we're going to get in a fucking boat and we're just going to row out and one of us is going to be wrong. But they still, he'll say, you're wrong, you're part of it, it's Bill Gates. I don't know, but it's going to be fun.
How's your rowing skills?
Pretty damn good.
Yeah. You might need some stamina. Yeah.
I mean, this is the perfect segue to you explaining why you agreed to come on our show. But yeah, thanks very much, Dom. We really appreciate it, and best of luck with the new book. Best of luck with the new show, and we'll be listening out and watching in.
Cool. See you in lockdown 4.
Thank you.
See you in tier 10.
Yeah.
Is
Take that right, care. Guys?
Yeah, thank fantastic. You so much. Nice one.
Cheers, Dom. Hello, holding the quill.
Oh, hello, drinks and loads. It is I, Peter Parcel.
Oh, hi, Pete. How are you doing?
Well, Grace, I actually feel utterly thrilled to be alive and well right now. The past few days have been terrifyingly traumatic for me.
Oh, really? What's been going on?
Well, where do I start?
Well, how about at the beginning?
Yes, good idea there, Grace. I will. So, 3 days ago, Grace, I was feeling so bright and excited to be going on a 7-day yoga and meditation retreat at a beautiful beach resort in East Sussex. Or at least, this is what it seemed to be from my internet searches and email confirmations. My email confirmation said to meet the spiritual shaman retreat leader, Darren, in a small industrial estate in New Romney in Kent. And from there, Darren would drive us all to the secret peaceful retreat location in East Sussex. Now, as soon as I arrived, I did have my suspicions.
Oh, really? Why is that?
Well, there was nobody there. No hippies holding yoga mats or fellow creators clutching their acoustic guitar like me. Just two shifty-looking teenagers smoking by a skip.
Okay, so what happened?
So, I was there, right on time, as I always am, 1 p.m, on the nose, and I waited and waited, and then, finally, Darren arrived, but, oh, this Darren, he certainly wasn't a spiritual shaman. He arrived in an old Volvo, and as soon as he got out of the car, and he asked if I was Peter, well, I was just so pleased to see him and relieved. I dropped my bags and my guitar and began approaching him with my arms wide to embrace him. It was at that moment he punched me hard in my stomach, completely taking the wind out of me. The dirty crook Darren from New Romney, he robbed me. He took everything, my phone, my wallet, my guitar. He even took my dreamcatcher necklace. Oh, how I miss it. I felt like such a fool, Grose, you know? I mean, a yoga retreat in England, in the middle of winter, and during a global pandemic. How could I have been so stupid?
Oh, Peter, I mean, that's awful. What did you do?
Well, you know what, Grose? It's true what they say. Money, it really can't buy you love or bring you happiness. But it can really bloody help when you're trying to get back home from Kent to Salford. Well, I hitchhiked. Off I went, just little old me on my lonesome, walking along the A259, with my thumb out, trying to hitch a ride. And I walked for miles and miles, in what I thought was the right direction. Turns out I walked 10 bloody miles in a complete wrong way.
Well, it goes to show how reliant we are on all these sat-navs and maps on our phones, I guess, these days.
You are completely right. Completely correct there, Grose, my dear friend. But you know what?
What?
What happened next? Even now, I still can't believe how fortunate I am for this to have happened. Really, I can't believe how blessed I am.
Okay, do go on.
I met the most generous, kind, wonderful young man, just outside of Folkestone, at a place called Sandgate Beach. I was sat there on the beach, the sun was just going down, and I really felt utterly helpless. I'd been scammed, mugged, and walked 10 bloody miles in the wrong direction with nobody stopping to offer me a lift, or any help until I get a tap on the shoulder. Hey, Quillette, drinks and grows, what's happening?
Hang on, is that Stormzy I can hear?
Yeah, man, living and breathing, boy. Here I am.
Stormzy, what is going on? What's going on here?
Okay. Look, let me fill you in, yeah? Right, first of all, let me just say, for the record, yeah? I'm sorry, I haven't been calling in much, at all lately. I mean, I usually like calling you guys and catching up and, you know, you're my boys, yeah? But, you know, lately I've been busy, like, doing my music thing and making my music, but... Well, and kind of took a turn for the worse for me a couple of weeks ago. My label, you know, Speedy Wonderground, they let me go, man.
No way, Storms. Oh, sorry to hear that.
Yeah, man, they chewed me up and they spat me out, boy. Left me hanging out to dry, bruv. So I was a bit all over the place in my head just after that. So I decided to just get out and go for a drive, you know? Try and clear my head kind of thing. Ended up driving all the way to Folkestone or Sandygate Beach specifically. And, well, I saw this guy sat on his own, looking proper down and out, you know? So I thought, hey, it's the only decent thing to do, you know? Go and see what his story is. And, well, the rest is history.
So you guys have gone well?
Yeah, man. Yeah, passed. He's a straight up G. I said to him, of course I give him a lift. I can't give him a lift up north, bruv. Yeah, of course. I had nothing better going on. And after all, when the label dropped me, I haven't felt like I've had my construction building mojo back yet, you know, get me? So next thing, you know, Pars tells me he's a singer and has a little recording studio thing up in his house in Salford. So I was like, boom. Yeah, man, we're on it, fam.
Right, okay. So, You're both up in Salford now, are you?
Yeah, man, that's it, bruv. You know, we're actually just putting the finishing touches on our first track right now. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, absolutely. You two have done a little collab, have you?
Yeah. Okay. So, look, all right, I'll finish it up. Just give me a couple of minutes and, I'll send it over, yeah, Groats?
Yeah, fantastic. Well, look, Simon Storms, Peter Parsley, I'm so pleased for the two of you. I'm really glad that you've hit it off, and I can't wait to hear that track.
Yeah, all good, man. Look, this life, it ain't easy, and we never know what's round the corner, you get me? So we all just got to keep that faith that just as the night follows the day, the sun will shine, and it's gonna be bright. It's gonna bring that light into our lives, even when it seems too dark to even see where that light will even come from. You know, we gotta believe that the light will come through again.
Oh yes, exactly. Even if you're lost in the middle of fucking nowhere, like Romney in Kent, you know, there's always someone that will help you out. Hopefully.
Well, it certainly sounds like your talking therapy piss approach has worked wonders on our dear old Stormzy, Peter.
Oh, yes, precisely. Over the past few days, I have applied my piss approach beautifully all over Simon here. And he seems to have really enjoyed it, too.
Great stuff. Well, look, I can't wait to hear the track that you guys have done. So, please send it over and me and Drinks will play it at the end of the show.
Yeah, right. That would be great, man. Thanks so much, Groves. I'll speak to you soon, yeah? I'll ping that track over to you right now. I'll email it over to you, yeah?
Fantastic. Well, it's been a pleasure to...
Is it still holdingthequill@gmail.com?
It is indeed. Ping it over now, Storms. And like I say, I'll play it at the end of the show. And it's been great to catch up. It's been a long time. So hopefully speak very soon to yourself and to Peter as well.
Yeah, man, definitely. Right, peace out, man.
Okay, goodbye then, guys. Farewell.
See you, boys. Speak soon.
Yes, goodbye.
Later. Peace out.
Cheers, bye-bye now.
Wow, what a show, Delusional Drinks. Where do we start? We've had the legendary comedic heavyweight just beating me there, hands down, at the Quill Britannia quiz, meaning that the guests have beaten us both over the series, 4-2. Sad. I mean, the damage was already done, you know, in the earlier episodes, but today was a bit of a kicking by Dom.
Yeah, he certainly took you to the cleaners, didn't he?
And then some.
He took you to the cleaners more than once. He wiped the floor with you, matey.
He did. He showed me no mercy. But yeah, thank you so much to Dom Jolly for coming on the show. What else have we covered? We've covered Prince William, Mr. Bean, a very dystopian view of the future in your queer literature.
We've had a nice chat with a big fan from Alabama in Trent the Destroyer Douglas.
Indeed. So hopefully
Fiona Bruce replies to some of his love letters soon.
Lovely Fiona. But yeah, it's sadly end of the series for us, isn't it?
It is indeed. So we're going to head off and just obviously meet some of the demands of, you know, some of the Hollywood calls and the Netflix TV series that we've been offered and the docuseries that they want us to write and film.
Mm. Have you been sent those emails, have you?
Yeah. I thought they said, oh no, they said don't mention it to you. I think they just want me.
Oh, okay.
You've been sent something else.
I've not seen any emails, so so yeah, awkward.
Look, guys, thanks for listening. It's been a roller coaster. It's been fun. It's been all sorts of things. But I hope you've enjoyed, and we may be back at some point soon.
Mm. If there's a demand, or if there isn't a demand, I'm sure
we'll have a think, and we'll probably just keep throwing content out there for someone like Trent to keep enjoying.
Exactly. So, as promised, to play us out of our season 2 finale, it is the collaboration that everyone's been waiting for. It is Peter Parsley and Storms Lee roaming around Romney. Enjoy, and we will hopefully be back soon.
Cheers, guys. Stay safe. Rock on.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Farewell. Problems ain't the same together.
together we light up the flames to show each other the way, all of the way, through the grey, through the fire, through the rain, through the night and through the day. And we won't run away, cause that ain't how we play. Stormsley and Parsley, we are here to stay.
This guy Groads, yeah, pretty, bit of a legend, massive lips.
Lovely lips.